Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's the Just Step Show. I'm Just Step, the Italian Boston girl who takes you by the hand and shows you how to live life to the fullest. Oh my gosh, you all know Just Step is all about the love, and it's February, the month of love. Does everyone have their heart on? Today we are talking about we're talking about love, and actually heart health. And we have Colter Dean, who is a former MLB pitcher and cutie patootie. So cute we have him, and we're going to talk about baseball and the life lessons he's learned from the ball game, from the ballpark to his career. And also we have what's new with the red dress. And listen up for that question that's going to be posted on Facebook. And we have Throwback Thursday, TBT. So call us at 347-857 to be part of the show in Throwback Thursday. And guess who?
This is the list, folks.
Did I get it? 347-857-4104. All right. Yeah, I guess I can't read it. You know what? I'm blinded by the love. Oh, he's here.
You didn't call me, Judy, by the way. Thank you.
The count.
And I'm back.
And it's all about the love, right?
Well, this was supposed to be February.
Come yeah. On. So how's your love life?
Oh, you don't even want to go there.
Why? Is it so busy? Huh? We don't have enough time?
No, I mean, you have to understand, I'm 1,000 years old, you know. I can start and keep going and going and going and, yeah.
Well, you know, this week, it was Groundhog Day.
What
did you know that? So the groundhog comes out in Pennsylvania, and if he sees his shadow, it's 6 weeks left of winter. If he does not see his shadow, then spring is around the corner, and he saw his shadow this week. So that means 6 more weeks of winter, so we're going to be free. So it's an indoor activity.
So we did see something where he bit the mare, which winter will never be.
Yeah.
Where did he bit the mare?
He bit him in his love heart. It's all about the love, right? Oh, my gosh.
I've never seen my shadow.
What? No, not only like plus.
Yeah.
He doesn't look in the mirror. He's like, yeah, there's nothing there. Oh, my gosh. I wish I could look in the mirror and see nothing. I'm sorry. Well, you know, Liz, or how about Les? Okay, you know, ma'am. All right. I just meant Les. You know, everybody. Oh,
you are beautiful.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know what? I have the whack job of the week, and I got to tell you, this is a very interesting whack job. Okay, you know what? Our whack job of the week did a documentary of a film because back in the 70s, he had an affair with a dolphin. he says, this is a quote from him. And his name, listen to his name now, please. His name is Malcolm Brenner. And you know, he says there's something quite transcendental about making love with a dolphin. This is his quote. And he did a movie about it.
I really need to Google this. I'm sure we'll find some picture. How in the world he made the love with a dolphin? Holy.
Well, you know, oh my gosh. Well, you know, I just thought it was so funny because I said, this guy is a whack job. I mean, who even talks about it? Even if it wasn't true, like even if he made it up, who would say that?
Well, let me tell you a true story. When I lived in Tennessee, in one county in Tennessee between Nashville and Memphis, he was on all over the radio. The chief of police, he was caught having sex with chickens. I swear, I mean, he was on TV, it's real. So, in 2 weeks, when he was all over the news, I was driving to Memphis, and of course, I couldn't keep my stupid mouth shut. And I got stopped for the speeding ticket, you know. And the guy asked me, and for the driver license, when he came back, I had to ask, he said, is this this county where your boss made the hanky-panky with the chicken? Yeah. And he gave me a ticket.
Oh, my gosh. That's yeah. so bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We have...
But with the golfing?
Listen, I'm so excited about our first guest because, well, our guest today because he is...
The dolphin have teeth.
They have teeth. Well, maybe. Well, right. I hope he's.
My imagination. I'm going to the whole place.
Let's move on from the dolphin sex because we have our first guest is on the line, and I'm so excited to be talking to his former MLB pitcher. But... That's a skit from Abbott Costello. So our guest, Cole Darby, holds the record for the number of pitches pitched at Auburn University. He played for the Yankees. All right, we'll let him get away with that because he's cute. And he also played for the Boston Red Sox. Yay! So we love him for that. And he played a little bit for the Braves, and he's a righty pitcher. I believe he's a relief pitcher. So let's get Coulter on the line. Hey, Coulter, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. How's everything going over there? Where you at? You're in. You're out on the road, huh?
I'm actually in between Birmingham and beautiful Chattanooga.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we're so excited to have you on the show today. Tell us a little bit about your career in Major Leagues because we're just getting started here with baseball. My kids are already playing baseball. They're freezing, but they're playing. We play in the South a lot longer. So, and you know that because you're from Alabama. And tell us a little bit about your career.
Well, I mean, you know, basically I was like every other kid, played Little League, all that kind of stuff, and fortunate enough to get an opportunity to play in college, and really wasn't, I guess, recruited heavily or at all. So ended up going to Auburn for basically small scholarship books, essentially, but played there 4 years and got opportunity to play professionally and was able to hang around for a few years and get to do some cool stuff and meet a lot of good people and, you know, just made a lot of great friends and got to see a lot of interesting things at times. So,
well you know, I went to spring training a lot for many years to see the Red Sox, and I promise you, Johnny Damon did wave to me. I know he did. I waved to him way back. I know he did. I promise. I know he did. He was my favorite when he played for the Red Sox.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I'm sure he waved back.
I hope so. I don't know if he saw me, you know, wasn't close up or anything. But I did get to get an autograph from Louis Tion. That was fun, too. So we love baseball. We're a baseball family. We love it. And it's just such a great sport. My kids play. One of my kids is a lefty pitcher, and we're hoping that he plays for the Red Sox. So, you know, anyway, I'm just kidding. I know that there's crazy parents out there that really think that. But, I mean, it's so hard to go from playing Little League, and then it's even a smaller group that plays for in the high school, and then it's such a small, select group that plays in college. How do you deal with the disappointment? How do you deal with the rejection? Because I know that in my own life, you know, that's one of the things I had to overcome was rejection and being able to, and I think we all do in some, you know, in many, it's life. So how did you deal with that?
Well, I think, honestly, you know, dealing with it early on and as a kid, and I guess, you know, I guess my parents kind of let things happen and I guess didn't try to shelter me from it. So it wasn't such a surprise to me when I got older. So, because as we all know, you're going to, like you just said, you're going to have that. And regardless of what you do, whether it's sports or your job or whatever. So I think, you know, facing that early in life and figuring out how to handle it was key. And, you know, I think a lot of times now, it's, you know, I have children and, you know, they participate in sports, whatever, and you see a lot of parents that try to harbor their kids and don't let them fail. And I know that's the toughest thing. I know it is for me. You know, as a parent, that you can kind of tell what's going to happen, but you got to kind of let them fall on their face every once in a while and, you know,
it's
teach
true.
Them how to dust their pants off. So that's, I would say that's probably the key. I mean, you know, and I mean, I guess ultimately not making one situation bigger than another. And I know that's tough to
right.
do, but I would probably say baseball has taught me more just from emotionally how to control your emotions and how to, you know, within each moment, not make one bigger than the next and try to stay as even keel as possible.
Right. And it's so funny because my boy that's a pitcher, he's probably the most emotional out of all my kids, but when he gets on that field and he gets on the mound, he keeps it together. It's amazing how he does it. He might not do that at home, but he does it on the field. And in talking about those disappointments, I mean, my kids have always been, you know, they're doing their thing, but, you know, they're not always invited to every party. And I just say, oh, well, sorry, you can't get invited to everything. And where a lot of parents I've dealt with have, you know, been blown gaskets because their kid didn't get invited to a party. I'm like, please do me a favor. Don't invite, you know, so my kids, you know, so I think that it's all how the parents deal with it. So that's a great point. And so, but the what I really want to talk to you about, because, you know, for us, you know, February is all about the heart, and it's not just about physical heart health, it's about emotional heart health. And so how, tell me some of the life lessons that you learned or that you took with you from the ball field into a career and into maybe family life and into your everyday life. What were some of the things that are important to you that mean a lot to you?
I would say, and this took a long time for me to learn, and I still struggle with it, just like everyone else, and that's, you know, we all want to have control of everything in our lives, and that's impossible. And I know baseball, you know, in professional sports, you always want to, you know, constantly move up in levels, you know, from A ball, double A, triple A to the big league. So, you know, early on, you sit there and you try to figure things out. And, you know, a lot of people do that with their jobs, I imagine. You know, they're trying to go up the ladder corporately or whatever it may be. And you're always trying to figure out how it's going to be. And instead of controlling what you can control, which is your performance, whether it be on the field or at the office or whatever. And I think, you know, that taught me essentially, you know, to focus on what I control and try not to waste my time, waste my energy on stuff that's out of my control. So, because, you know, baseball is, you know, the season, it's unlike any other season. It you know, it might not be as physically taxing as football or basketball, but it's a marathon and emotionally and it's as taxing as any sport because of the length of it and, you know, the day in, day out grind. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, in major leagues, you get a day off a week. Minor leagues,
right.
You get a day off a month. So you get one day off a month. And,
wow,
you know,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then sometimes you pray for rain out. So, you know, you got the kids walking away from the park because they didn't get to go see the game because it rained out. And we're in the clubhouse throwing a party because we get a day off. It's like being a snow day at school sometimes, it's because you get to go to dinner at 7 and not eat at 11. So,
right.
It's just those little things, but, you know, it's a grind. I mean, you're riding buses all night or you're catching early flights and, you know, and
right.
In minor league baseball, you're not flying the private jets. You're posted up with everybody else and squeezing in the middle, you know, the middle
right.
rows and, you know, trying to make the best of it. And, you know, kind of, it's just a grind. But learn how to control
yeah, it
that.
Is.
Deal with it. It's huge.
Right.
So.
Right.
Well, you know, it's so funny that you said that about the rainouts, because I sign my every year I go, I sign my kids up for baseball and pray for rain.
Go, yeah, exactly.
I'm yelling, it's too cold for them to play. I don't want to drive them.
Right.
So
exactly.
Anyway, it's crazy because, and you know, I find that even with the little kids, with the sports, and I think it's actually a little bit more so with the football than the baseball, but these coaches are crazy. They're screaming their brains out. I said, what are they screaming for? And then, and even the parents. And I've been at baseball games where there's been parents that are just out of control. I'm thinking, why is everybody so upset? This is a game. These kids are playing. Let them play. Who cares?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. Because I had a conversation with a dad probably 2 or 3 years ago, and you know, you got four dads yelling 5,000 different things at one kid, and they wonder why he's deer in the headlights. I said, well, why don't we all five go to your office and yell at you five different things at one time? What are you going to do? You're going to freeze and be like, whoa. So,
yeah.
I think, obviously, as you know, parents get into it, and winning is, I guess, at an early age, put on a pedestal, and it really shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, it should be the enjoyment of the game. So.
Right. Well, I thank you so much for being on our show today, Colter, and I definitely want to get some of those baseball cards.
Oh, yeah, I'll get them to you, and thanks for having me.
Okay, babe, listen, be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
All right,
thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye. Okay, he's so cute. He's so nice. That was such great life lessons that we talked about. And how do you feel about that? Do you think that was good?
I don't know. You know what? I noticed a lot of happening here. Like, a lot of parents, let's say if you are a baseball player as a parent, you want so bad your son to be a baseball player, you know, and you push it so hard, and probably your son is not talented. He's not gifted for baseball, but he's gifted for something else, and you're pushing and actually waste a lot of his time, you know, to push him somewhere where he's not gifted and still to find something that he's gifted for.
Well, I'm already ready for spring, so that's why I wanted to have Colter on the show, because I'm so ready for spring and the warm weather, even though we have to wait 6 weeks with the groundhog told us. Anyhow, and I'm still excited for spring and the warm weather and getting out there, and I think baseball, whatever sport you're involved in, I like to box, you know, just getting that heart pumping and moving and going, and also with your emotional heart health is very important. But you know what I want to do right now? I want to tell everybody what's going on in and around Atlanta.
Oh.
So how's that?
You're going to say like you're going to cross me in the face or something.
Okay, you know what we have? There's so much fun stuff going on this weekend. Okay, so Friday night, this is Three Sheets is doing their same gig, and they're doing they start with happy hour. So if you want to go, you're an early bird, you want to start there early, or you want to go there a little later, or you want to start, you know, stay, but they turn into the full-fledged nightclub with, upscale dress and all that. But Whiskey Blue, which is totally super fun. It's at the top of the W in Buckhead, and they have a full snow moon party Friday night. So that's super fun. And Havana Club is having something. I just found that out. Havana Club is having some singles thing tomorrow night. We're going to private parties.
Oh.
Except for the happy hour, we're going to is not private. So then after that is a private party. And then Jerry Seinfeld is at the Fox on Friday night.
That's
exciting. Yeah, he's funny. You know, I saw Sebastian Maniscalco last week at the Atlanta Improv. He is hilarious. My face was hurting. It was so funny. Yes. And, okay, so Saturday night we have the 7th annual Mardi Gras Ball at Smith's Old Bar on Piedmont Road, and that, it doesn't say a time, but it's So that's Saturday night. And then Sunday, as always, is church, if you go to church, whatever you want to do. But it's also Sunday is wine day. Well, we know that. But however, that's my Sunday is wine day for me. However, it
it's
is.
Day.
No,
oh,
not
I
wine.
Yeah, it's vodka. But
yes, not wine. I don't drink because I like wine a lot better than vodka, but I can't drink it because it's just too much sugar. So, but it's, the Chastain Tavern has their Sunday brunch every week, and that's from 11 to 4, and they have their Bloody Mary bar. So that's exciting. And, you know, coming up next week we have Mary O'Neill, who is the grand dame of the Red Dress Party. So that's exciting. So we have her, and she is she's going to be with us next week. We're going to talk to her about the Red Dress and her involvement because she is the one who started the Red Dress. So let's talk about the Red Dress, shall we? What? Let's talk about the Red Dress. Well, you know what? I'm excited because I got my red dress. I'm so excited.
Even.
You didn't get your red dress?
No. Does anybody know where I can? I'm 6'5", so I need a long one.
You need a well. You know what? Well, it's very exciting because. Well, I'm so happy to have my dress because I was worried about that. But it got, it was good. It was. I'm so excited. So, it's, you know, I think it's a nice dress, and I think I can wear it again. So that's what I'm going for.
What did you do to give some tips to people then?
Well, I got my dress. I got my dress. I don't want anybody to buy the same dress. So I went, you know, I was starting low.
I told you where to go.
I know. Lisa told me where to go. So my producer was... I go, I'm not going there. My daughter told me the same thing.
Yeah,
and I went there.
I only go there for
yeah, I went there. And, you know, I had a gentleman helping me, and he was so cute and so nice. And he said, I said, I need help, but I need a girl. And he goes, you're discriminating. And he, I let him help me with my, you know, getting a button and everything. But he was nice. He was, you know, I don't think he liked me, girl. And, you know, he loved me. But that was at Cachet. I was at Cachet. I got my and it was very reasonable. It was a great price.
For years.
Did they have for big and tall?
They had long gondolas. Yes.
Yes.
So that was good. So
they had for guys too or just for ladies?
It's all ladies. So but you know what? I'm excited about this event because not only is it a great cause because we know that heart disease is the number one killer of women.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a silent killer. We sometimes don't have any idea that we have heart disease. And but the event is great. It's going to be at the Crown Plaza, Virginia, on Friday, February 13th. So you can start your Valentine's weekend, get your heart on, and go to the Red Dress Party.
Nothing in the
Wow.
Get your heart on and go to the Red Dress Party. It's and you know what? If you need to buy tickets, you can use my code DEFT33 on 33events.com and purchase your tickets. You can, there's a VIP experience. There's lots of fun stuff. But you know what? We have some great entertainment. We have Jessica Black, she's a former Miss USA, I believe, something like that. She's a supermodel or something, but she's beautiful. Look at her. Oh my gosh! I wish this was TV.
What she does is what her job?
She is going to be the MC. She's going to be the MC, and we have the best. This is so exciting. The best female country artist of the year, Angela Rayne, is going to be debuting her new collaboration with Devon, Cowgirls Do. I think Boston Girls Do.
No, Cowgirls Do better.
They're better?
Oh, yeah.
You like Cowgirls better?
Well, I lived 11 years in Nashville, so I never think of it about Cowgirls.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I can dress up like a cowgirl. I have a hat and cowboy boots.
You have the hat in the blood.
I know. Now I don't have them. But, you know, when I go to Nashville, like, when I'm wrong, you know what I'm saying?
Actually, if I say anything about it, when you have a couple of vodka, you might be qualified. Yeah.
And we have Antonio Lawrence, and we have DJ Vanessa Hundley. She's awesome. She's the one that does. We're gonna go to her karaoke. It's Sunday Funday, not this week, but in a couple of weeks. We're gonna go and we're gonna show Just Steph and Team JS.
Last Sunday.
The last Sunday, the 22nd. We're Team JS is going to Sunday Funday. It is. It's from 5 to 12 or something like that. So we're gonna go Team JS. I hope you can come. We'll go and we'll sing karaoke. Huh?
Well, I told you what happened when I sing the last time in the bar. They cheat the whole bar out, so if you really want me to take a chance, I'll sing.
Well, you don't have to sing, but well, you can just watch me sing.
Oh, boy. I'll sing. I'll sing.
So, anyway, but, so, and then what else? We have, what else do we have for the Bridges? We have your beautiful painting. The Count is a magnificent artist. You can look at his stuff on Facebook. It's Da Vinci is the page, right?
Yep.
And he does some great work, and they're going to be auctioning off one of his paintings, and I think he's going to be doing a painting right on site, right?
Yeah, but I guess I have 5 minutes or 4 minutes, something like that, to do a painting.
Oh, so like if I name that tune in, you know, three notes or something for you, make, you know, do that, you know, paint that painting in 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, while I was thinking for the opening action to paint something quick, but I'm thinking of something, paint something that, like, every few seconds is changed, you know? So kind of let people guess or maybe, you know, what it is, you know? I was thinking even if they want to, if anybody guess, which I'm sure it won't, but they can get a painting for free, you know? So in those 4 minutes while I'm still doing painting, you'll keep changing what I'm painting. So it's something interesting.
That's fun.
But to kind of get the people involved with auction and...
That's fun. Well, you know what? There's other auction items like trips and jewelry, and I think, I'm not sure if they're going to have a puppy this year, but there's lots of fun stuff going. You know, the puppy goes, you know how much money a puppy makes at these events? You have no idea. Like, $4,000. They make a lot of money.
Can I be a puppy?
No.
Can I be a puppy?
I swear.
We can trade them.
Well, since this is the month of love, and we're going to do a couple of TBT real quick before the show ends, but... Okay, Lisa.
All right, we've got our throwback Thursday.
Yay!
And it is about a love affair. What Dallas Divas affair with Dusty Farlow petered out after Dusty was paralyzed from the waist down?
Swell.
Okay, go.
What maroon character's name was, did writer Sherwood Schwartz choose from a phone book?
Maroon? That would be Gilligan.
Can you believe that? I didn't know that.
I had no idea. He was marooned on a desert island.
He had writer's block, and he just went through a phone book.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and that's how Gilligan's Island.
And his name was Bob something. I can't remember.
Yeah,
okay. I'll remember. It'll come to me after the show's over. Okay, we got one minute. That's it. So listen. Thanks, Count. And remember, I put the FU back in fun. This is just the Just Steph Show. I love you daily. Wishing you love, balance, and peace. Ciao, ciao, baby.
See you guys next week.
Yeah, next week. Yay. Look in my heart and let love. I think it'd be funny. You could sing, I don't know.
Did I tell you what called that came? It was, I have to. professor Sue that teed off with what this show.
Chantel? Yeah. That's my favorite. Oh, that's my favorite. You know what? I can see that. That's my favorite. I love that. We'll do it. Okay.
I'm just here on Charlie.